Caffeination 337. This is the Back in the Saddle edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. Hopefully you are having a great week. It has been quite some time since I recorded the last episode of the Caffeination, so hopefully the week in between has treated you well. It was a slightly planned occasion, I guess you could say. If just for a quick little rundown, then we're going to get on into the fantastified content that we got for you today. In case you were wondering, I did end up having the surgery last Thursday. That would be May 21st. Everything went perfectly well. Turns out the cyst that they had to remove was not cancerous, so there was much rejoicing. The only problem is after the fact, after you have the exploratory surgery to get the strange cyst out, you have to recover from the exploratory surgery. So at this point, I can't lift anything heavier than a gallon of milk, so the wife is literally carrying the load in the family right now. The boy is running her ragged. It's pretty trying on my sensibilities. There's nothing else to say. It's like I can't do normal things that I would normally be able to do. Like I can't mow the lawn, even though it's getting shaggy. I can't do certain things. So I gotta wait from two to four weeks before I'm, back up and running with all systems go. So, but you know what? The really good thing about it is that I got a clean bill of health. So we're just waiting for the pathology to come back. But as one of my friends said, it's always safe once it's in the jar. No longer have the offending body within me, so we're all ready to go. We have a great episode lined up for you today here. If this is your first time listening to the Caffeination Podcast, wow, you came in at a pretty weird time. You might want to go listen to the last episode if you really want the whole rundown on the situation. However, we are found lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com for the uninformed and illiterate among you, which I doubt there's very many of you. We do have a great ton of content that we're going to be talking about. Just a quick little rundown of what we're going to be hearing. You're going to be hearing about Smurfs, buried treasure, steampunk, ice cubes, beer, coffee, and a recipe that I'm trying, as well as some words to make everybody around you feel just a little bit less intelligent. We like to try and, be an equal opportunity employer here when it comes to. So, if you're listening to this episode, you can learn some fun stuff and hopefully you'll be able to share with your friends. And then maybe you share the podcast with them. I did want to mention, just in case you really enjoy the podcast and you'd like to get all the information, you can send an email to caffeination@gmail.com. Just put in the title, put mailing list, and I will add you to the mailing list so you get the show notes as soon as I put the episode up. You can also become a friend to the Caffeination Podcast if you head on over to caffeination.com, the homepage that is, and you look up at the sidebar and says Friend to the Caffeination. You sign in. You sign in with your Google account or your OpenID. You can also sign in with Yahoo, AIM, or anything else, and it'll allow you to post comments to the site without having to log in and create a different username. You won't have to go through CAPTCHAs or anything else. It uses your OpenID, which is very cool and interesting, so we just want to kind of push that out there again. We're going to be getting back into the swing of reviews and stuff coming up. We got a ton of other things, and just to make my time off a little bit more productive, I'm growing a beard again, so that's probably going to be a little bit itchy in a couple days, but that's neither here nor there. We did want to talk to you just a little bit about the sponsor for today's show. Today's show is sponsored in part by GoToMeeting. Now we're going to cut with all the junk and we're just going to get you right down to what GoToMeeting does. GoToMeeting does things very well and it does exactly what it's designed to do. It connects you with other people that you're supposed to be in meetings with from anywhere around the world, and it does it seamlessly. I can't stress this enough. The integration between your computer and the next computer in line in the meeting to do a presentation is really unbelievable. Like, we were doing this. I had my computer in Philadelphia. Another one of the presenters in the meeting was in Hawaii. And we had a third guy somewhere in between us. And during the presentation, I gave mine. The desktop was switched over to my control. I gave mine. As long as I had my desktop resolution set, we could record it. It was perfect. Then I handed it off to the gentleman who was in Hawaii, and then he handed it off to the third gentleman. It looked like, to the people who were attending, it looked like one continuous stream. There was so much complicated stuff behind the scenes that we never see. You know what? Because it's simple, and that's all you really want from something. So you too can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, but you must visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcasts. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcasts for a free 30-day trial. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Caffeination Podcast. They allow us to do all kinds of crazy and cool stuff that we do around here, so hopefully you'll head on over there and check them out. All right, we have a ton of content to get to here today, so we're going to dive right on in, going to hit it fast and loose. Well, not so loose, just kind of fast. All right, the first little thing we have up for you here is actually a YouTube video. I should probably make mention of that in the comments because it starts playing automatically as YouTube videos are wont to do. But it is talking about the Fat Man and the Circuit Girl. What it is actually a demonstration of a 52-inch high-definition Etch-a-Sketch. This woman has used two drill motors, I think it was 8 pulleys, a bunch of nylon thread, and a couple pieces of a tent pole, and the front end of a 52-inch projection screen TV. Now, this is like the old-school projector screen where there's actually a tiny little camera in the front and went up to the front, and then they actually used the dust from inside real Etch-a-Sketches and actually made it so that it would draw on the screen. Now, the only thing that they don't really get into is why it actually works. You know, they can't pick out why that the only thing that works is the aluminum dust from inside Etch-a-Sketches. And I don't know, but I'm just putting this video up there as a stunning example of DIY technology. It's like if there's something from your childhood that you really found interesting, if there's something from your childhood that you really thought, you know, begged to be brought forward into a different paradigm, into a different realm, you know what? The tools are at hand. You just have to figure out a way to do it. So, I mean, this is just to serve as an example to do that. All right, and speaking of bringing something old and making it new again, yes, Frank Lloyd Wright has decided to, or his estate, that is, has decided to actually release a set of Legos, multiple sets of Legos, 6 sets to be exact, to recreate his specific buildings. Now, I think this is pretty cool. I heard about it from Bob, so thank you very much, Bob, for sending me this. The funny thing is, I work in the architecture department at Temple University. I should have heard about this long before that, but Bob also works there, and he was nice enough to send it along to me. Now, I know a lot of people who are relatively interested in Frank Lloyd Wright's architectural stylings. I don't know why, but it's some of his stuff's really interesting. Some of it doesn't really do it for me as architects go. I mean, I know that's heresy among the circles, but I do know one gentleman in particular who's going to be excited to have the Falling Water version of Legos. So no word yet on the prices, but there's two of the buildings and the pictures have been released, so I just wanted to pass it along to you because, hey, it's Legos and it's kind of cool, so I thought I'd pass it along. All right, next little thing up here, you might want to watch your auto logins. Now, I know I have it set up on my computer that if you're using my username, I get into my email, I get into all kinds of fun things, because I'm pretty much sure that the Caffeination layer is physically secure. There's nothing that you would be able to log into from my computer that my wife shouldn't be able to see, so I'm all right with that. And there's also nothing on my computer that the kid can yet access. However, if I was teaching my son how to use the computer, which I have been in different programs, I don't think I would leave him unattended after hours, and I don't think I would let him get onto eBay or something similar to that. But there was a child in New Zealand who was name of Pippi Quinlan, who was testing out her online skills and decided that she really liked trucks. Kids like trucks. Trucks are all kinds of fun and cool. There's videos and DVDs associated with trucks and all that kinds of stuff. She bought one on eBay or on some auction site. It cost 20,000 New Zealand dollars, approximately 8,000 pounds, or roughly $15,000. The only good thing about this is that, Pippi does not have to end up forking over any of her allowance for this. Her parents were able to contact the seller and say, hey, you know what, my kid bought it. Being that I'm pretty sure that they don't live in a farming area or anything like that, that's all kinds of well and cool. But, yeah, that's really kind of serves as a interesting reminder. You might want to watch what you're showing your kids how to do online, all right? And this is one of those, I think this is a lot more of an interesting story that I really kind of wish had been picked up by the mainstream media, but, you know, because it doesn't involve child predators and it doesn't involve untoward things happening, it really didn't get the traction. This is a very simple, realistic problem that can happen. Your kid's sitting at the computer, all of a sudden, tap, tap, tap. Hey, guess what? They hacked into NASA. No, that's not going to happen. Unless, of course, you're a NASA scientist and you have all your passwords set to auto-login. It's probably not the best idea, but you know what I mean? This is something that, you know, it's not scare tactics. It's like, you know what? Hey, this is an example of something really out of the world that happened. But you can prevent it by turning off auto-login or setting up different usernames and passwords for different people to use the computer. Simple enough. All right, next little thing we have up for you here is an article from over at Destructoid.com, and it's also a contest, which I was unaware of when I first clicked on it. I clicked on it because it is an unbelievable example of a steampunk PC. This thing looks like a boiler. I mean, it really looks like an old-school boiler that you would see in somebody's basement. Has the lovely steampunk aesthetic, has the brass and the wood and the gears and the dials and all that other stuff. It is a monstrous PC, and the fine folks over at Destructoid are actually raffling it off for all intents and purposes. They're giving it as a contest to the best use of steampunk aesthetic in the comments. You have until June 19th to do it, to win Damnation. It's only open to people in the United States and Canada because they can't ship something this massive that far. I think my favorite piece of the entire apparatus is actually the tiny little feet that they have on it. Under this massive wooden boiler, they actually have these tiny little claw feet like you would find on an end table. I think that level of detail is what you're looking for in a really truly fantastic steampunk vision. So this is well done. So just passing it along. All right, now next little thing we have up for you here is shouldn't this one be done already? Now with the release of Terminator Salvation into the theaters, I'm not really juiced on it, so I haven't seen it. There's a whole bunch of Terminator and bot stuff flying around, but there's one scientist who thinks that we should probably start programming ethical guidelines or an ethical governor into military robots, you know, so that way you'd be able to surrender to the robot. You'd kind of programming the Geneva Convention into them. I think this has already been done by a man by the name of Isaac Asimov, you know, with his three laws of robotics. It's relatively simple. The only problem is you can't do the three laws of robotics for soldiers. So I think the only thing that we should do is pull the robots back from being soldiers, because at that point you start running into Skynet territory. I don't really know how many people would support that, because as soon as you put a robot on the front lines, it's somebody who's not somebody's son or daughter getting shot. You know, so it's just a mindless, lifeless robot. But when you start having them be autonomous, and when you start having them roam around the battlefield and pick and choose who they can pick off, then you might want to start worrying about it. So I just wanted to put it up there. So there's a little interesting story about the ethical guidelines in there. And he says, you know, robots need to be programmed to behave more ethically on the battlefield, so that they can actually respond to visual cues being given by human soldiers on the other side. So that brings us to the next story, which is actually Terminators in Waiting. It's a fun little collection from over at Device.com that gives six real robots that are Terminators in the making. The first one is up here is the Smooks in Ryu, the Harvester. This robot is designed to go into earthquake areas. We've talked about this one before, and actually rip and pull bodies out of the rubble. The next one we have up here I have not seen yet before. This one is sickeningly weird. It's the Cardio Arm Robotic Snake, the Hydrobot. So this is an ultra-flexible, ultra-crazy robotic proboscis that's designed by the fine folks at Carnegie Mellon, who actually works inside of hearts to do heart surgeries in as few incisions as possible. So it actually goes in through the veins, which is kind of crazy. Ghost Rider, which is a Moto Terminator, which is kind of a motorcycle that has its own auto balancing and everything. It's much similar to the minigun motorcycles that they had up there. The Predator UAV Hunter Killer, it's the giant airplane that flew around. The Actroid T-600, which is little made-in-Japan woman that's supposed to be an actress that's out there. And then there's the Asimo, which I think is kind of a little bit far-fetched to actually think of. It's Honda's flagship robot. Who knows if this is actually going to be the famed T-600 that eventually comes to kill us all. But, you know, hey, it's interesting. It's fun to kind of play around with the stories. Don't really know what else is going to be. Next little story we have up here, it's kind of if you shift the direction. It's U.S. spy gains new eyes. Spy flies to gain new eyes. But this is a tiny robot that could eventually be the pawns in the chess game of robotic battle. If you really want to look at these things, they're tinier than the head of your tinier than the tip of your finger. These things weigh next to nothing, and they can be deployed en masse as camera sentries. So literally being a fly on the wall in a meeting could happen. So this is a little bit Transformers, a little bit Terminator, so I just wanted to pass it along because I thought it was fun. Now we're going to pull ourselves back out of the robotic action there and dive into some cool stuff, or actually bury ourselves with some cool stuff. With the beach weather rapidly approaching, the interesting things that come out to kind of help make your beach going experience a little bit cooler. It's kind of funny to see this. This is called the Giga Clam. It's a design concept from over one of our favorite websites to hound around in, Yanko Design. The idea behind this is a hard metal clamshell-like object that's supposed to be buried under your towel or wherever it is when you're on the beach, and it's connected to a bracelet that you wear. So you put all your valuables in there, you shuffle this thing under the sand, hopefully out of people's, you know, out of sight, out of mind, works pretty well. And then if someone was to disturb it, if somebody was to uncover it, your wristband would start to shake. And if it starts to migrate outside of the area that you designate, I'm not sure exactly how far that would be, then you could turn the GPS tracking on the clamshell itself. So it must be a little bit harder to open than it actually looks, because it looks to just be a little clasp. I think if they had a little bit of biometric activity going on, it's first of all, it's sand-colored, it has nice little wavy characteristics, so it looks kind of cool. What I think they have to do to really make this thing kind of stand out is make it out of no metal whatsoever. So that way some goofball coming around with a metal detector wand doesn't end up picking up on it. Ooh, look what I found. But as long as you're attuned to the vibrations that are in your wristband, I don't think you should have too much problems. I really like this idea. I don't know how far this concept will ever get. That's the sad thing about some of those things you see over at Yanko. Some of them are just like on the cusp of coming out, and other ones are kind of years away from ever actually seeing the light of day. So if this thing ever comes out, you know, depending on the price point, I think this could really make a dent in the beach going areas. All right, next little thing that we have up for you here. You've had robot wars, now we have controller wars. It's getting pretty ridiculous the amount of accessories that you need to have a video game console. All right, you have the $200 to $400 video game console sitting in front of you. So you want to play Guitar Hero? Okay, fine. You need a guitar controller. You want to play Rock Band? Okay, you need the drums. You need the mic. You want to play Dance Dance Revolution? You got to have your Dancy Dance mat. There's no game that yet uses all of them. If you want the Wii, you have to have the Wii controllers because they work for certain games. If you want to play Wii Fit, you have to have that game. If you want to do the Tony Hawk new skateboarding game that comes out, it was supposed to use the Wii Fit originally, but they decided to have their own peripheral, so thank God for that. Tony Hawk now has a new skateboarding peripheral that's coming out, but that's not what I came to talk to you about today here. I came to talk to you about the draft. Actually, no, I came to talk about the Ultimate DJ controller. Yes, DJ Hero, or whatever it's going to end up being called, actually has a turntable on one side, 5-color buttons on the other, and a little crossfader. The only cool thing about this is that you can actually plug a mic into it and record your own samples into the unit. So I think this is going to end up being much more of a user-friendly kind of plug-and-play-as-you-like kind of thing. I mean, because the guitars, they're all cool and everything, but I'd like to try and play Halo with one of them, and it doesn't really work. Not all the buttons are represented on the vehicle, you know what I mean? So I see that they're not really representing all the buttons again, but I think that they could kind of move into a different way. I mean, I think that the spinner would actually be kind of cool to play some other games that are out there. And talking about that, and talking about how you have to pay out the rear end to buy all these things, how about a little DIY action? The fine folks over at Kelbot.com, actually the fine lady over at Kelbot.com, has come up with a way that you too can play Katamari. I think this is the original to Katamari Damacy on the PS2. I just got Beautiful Katamari for the 360. Unbelievable game, and I gotta tell you, I already spread the love on Twitter. If you don't have it, it's only like $17 or $19 at GameStop. It's really on the low end and cheap stuff, and it's really like a fun game. Alright, the idea is, for those of you who don't know, is that you're a tiny little creature who rolls this ball that's sticky around into small objects, and then the smaller object make the ball bigger, and as the bigger the ball gets, the bigger stuff that you can pick up as. So it's not just like you're rolling around, you can pick up pennies, and then you can eventually pick up golf balls. No, then you can eventually pick up, after many extrusions later, you can eventually pick up like whales and ships and ocean liners and maelstroms and mountains and stuff like that. So these things can get pretty big, and it just takes a little bit to get going. So if you're not really good with the whole controller thing, Kelly has actually found a way to using a a giant metal sphere and some casters and an optical mouse and a whole bunch of stuff that she actually pulled out of a hardware store that you can actually create your own in real life physical Katamari that you can roll around. I just love this. I think this is fantastic. And this is one thing that I really, it's a giant trackball for all intents and purposes. So I really would love to see how this would go. And it kind of makes me want to plug the trackball that I use on my computer into the Xbox to see if I can get something similar. Because I'm pretty good at the game so far, but I don't really have it to the fine-tuned edition where I can actually, you know, pull and tweak and twist it around and do all the things that I should be able to do. So maybe if I can do a little spin, it'd be kind of fun to sit there and play with. Who knows? But we'll see. All right, and then the last, or second, or... Alright, one of the next little stories that we have for you here, I moved things around so much I don't know what I'm talking about anymore, is Tetris Pots. Yes, you heard me correctly. Tiny little planners that are in the shape of the iconic Tetris pieces. There's nothing really more to say, but they said product pricing available upon request. This is from over at nerdapproved.com. You know what? I think I would rather make my own potters, but I love the idea behind it, so yeah, I just give it a little bit of just wanted to give them a little bit of link love for that one. Next little thing, batteries for emergency use. A little bit icky. These batteries, this is called the Nampopo Lantern. It's powered by batteries which are powered by urine. Yes, you heard me correctly. For some reason, the batteries only work after a refill 4 times, so these are for extreme emergencies only. They only create 500 milliamps of charge capability, so they're being used for a LED. I would much rather prefer, if I was, you know, camping or out in the woods or something like that, to have the tiny little motion-sensitive flashlight that we have in my backpack right now. It's basically a little magnet in there, and as you shake it up and down, it creates current. I'd rather do that than have batteries that I have to relieve myself in to make them work. So, all right, moving right along to just a fun little link that I think that you'll have some interesting times with. 10 words that you don't know. Now, I have a fairly large... vocabulary. Of course, I kind of bomb out on that word. But this is a list of 10 words that are so off the wall that I'm pretty willing to bet that you do not know them. The first one is longanimosus, which is actually the need to find the word that you are searching for. I am a frequent sufferer of longanimosus, or however it's pronounced. They need to actually put pronunciation guides near next to these because they're kind of a tongue twisters to say the least. And we're going to be talking about one of these on the next on the next section of the podcast, but I just want to kind of put them some of the funny ones out there so you can surf through the list to your heart's content. I'm probably going to have to look through the list because I know other people are going to be kind of testing me on them in the future. Oh, really? Hey, you remember that list? Are you sure you're not being a Gringamog or whatever it was? So, you know. All right, moving right along. This is the last link in the Geekcraft section here. Smurf Chess! You heard it here first. That's right. $83.99 will get you 32 pieces of Smurf Lovin'. That's right. There's a very own chess board and everything. This is a limited edition collector set. I love Smurfs. I'm not going to buy the chess set because I don't have $83 to pour into the hopper, but this is pretty cool, so I just wanted to pass it along because I thought it was interesting. All right, moving right along, beware of the Colaschino. That is the one of the words from the list that we had up there. This is the caffeinated and food bit section here. The Colaschino is the ring that your coffee cup or your cup leaves on the table after you're done. So you just thought it was a coffee cup ring? My desk, I never use coasters. I'm hard at it. My desk here in the caffeination layer is absolutely a painter's palette of Colaschinos. So I just thought it was kind of funny that now I have a word to call that thing. And every other time that I've tried to pull a word out of nowhere, I sometimes get called on the carpet for it. So now Colaschino, that's the new hit word. All right, now the next little thing we got up for you here is, I think I must have hit one of the knobs. Yeah, there it is. Okay. Yeah, there we are. Back to sounding like me again. Somehow I pulled a knob and it made me sound all kinds of tinny and everything, so... It's interesting trying to do your own EQ as you sound as you try and sound words out and stuff. I don't know exactly what cord got pulled where, but hey, you know what? We're migrating on now. All right, now the next little thing we have for you here is kind of just an interesting little science brief. I know we talked about the first thing a little bit a while ago. They found a bacteria that's living in hairspray, which is weird because this bacteria couldn't have existed before the middle of last century because there was no hairspray, and it pretty much feeds exclusively off hairspray. So this thing did not exist in nature before 50 years ago, which is pretty cool. Now, the other thing that they observed, which is a thing which should not be, and no, I'm not talking about the Cthulhu, I am talking about a caffeine-free coffee bean discovered only in Cameroon. I think this means the United States needs to declare war on Cameroon and turn it into a glass crater. But that could just be me. I don't know. I think a caffeine-free coffee bean is just an abomination. I can't imagine anything like that. And of course, all of that was said in good fun, but you're just kind of looking at these things and going, they're apparently last year, they're saying in 2007, so we're a little bit behind the times, 18,516 new species were discovered. Those were just two of them, and they're just now coming up to the forefront of popular culture, so we're just now seeing it on BBC and stuff like that. So hairspray bacteria and caffeine-free coffee, naturally caffeine-free coffee. You heard it here, possibly first, maybe not. All right, moving right along. Interesting little thing, 3D ice cube jewels. Now, I've seen old ice sculptures before. I've seen tiny little ice cubes where they always have the one flat side. Now, this goes one further, and they're actually two-sided ice cube trays they actually put together, and they actually make tiny little geometric-sided jewels, which I think is pretty cool. I mean, it's interesting. I don't really think that I would go through the trouble because there's only six on each one of them, and the for six ice cubes, you're going to pay $14.95. I'd rather have the ice cube shot glasses or something fun like that. All right, now the next little thing, you've heard of walking on eggshells. How about listening to them, or insert your own Twitter joke here? There's a gentleman by the name of Mater Gomi that's actually managed to turn a couple of brown chicken eggs into tiny little speakers. He gives you the how-to and why over there, but they look relatively interesting. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm going to go out there and do it, and I'm pretty sure you can do it with white chicken eggs, but they won't look as spiffy. But I mean, they even have tiny little ceramic parts on them, and they all seem to be very he says that the speakers end up coming up tinny. I don't think that they're tinny. I just think, you know, they're not tinny like this. I think they're much more tinny like the high end of the range is overemphasized on them. So, you know, your mileage may vary. All right, next little thing we have up for you here is the wine/beer pump or puncher, whatever you want to call it. For $25, you can have your very own condiment/drink dispenser. I like this idea. They're showing it with wine, which I think is kind of poor. I don't really want a wine that has a lot of ice in there. What I think that this would actually be really good with is if you took all of your ice and you put it into like a giant Ziploc bag and dropped the Ziploc bag into this thing so that you're not getting water in your ice, then I think you would have a better time of it, a better go of it. What I think this would probably be a lot better for, because there doesn't seem to be any insulation on the thing, what I think this would be a lot better for is like the massive mixed drinks. Like I know somebody who had a giant like tub of Lynchburg lemonade when we went over their house one summer. So this would be perfect for that, but not really perfect for wine with a lot of ice in it. So then the last little link that we have for you here at the Caffeination Podcast, nice short episode here today. We're trying to rock it out, shoving as much content into your ear as quickly as possible. It's a great little link from over at CoffeeNomad.com. This is coffee machine maintenance. Now, this is something that I like to bring up fairly frequently. This is the easiest way to clean your grungy coffee maker. This is taking a one-in-one solution, half and half of water and vinegar, pouring it through the machine, then I like to rinse it three times. Afterwards, that's it. It just cleans most of the stains out there, and you know, I really have to kind of admit, my coffee pot in work is probably one of the most disgusting, nasty coffee pots you'll ever see. It has a thick brown coloring on the glass. Why? Because I rinse it out and clean it? No, I don't scrub it. I don't clean it very much at all. In fact, I think the grunge kind of serves to enhance the flavor a little bit because it's really bad water where I work. So, it's just kind of interesting. I wanted to pass it along, and I wanted to kind of make sure that you knew. If you have a coffee machine that you're trying to get good coffee out of, you need to clean it. You need to clean it fairly frequently, all right? Passing that along to you. All right, that about wraps it up for you here today at the Caffeination Podcast. This has been episode big 337. Make sure you stop back in to the weeks coming up, because we're going to be putting a whole bunch of other great stuff online. We're going to be doing lots of reviews. This and all of its other episodic friends are lovingly located over at caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com. I'd like to thank everybody for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.